Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here with Michael Rivera out of Branch 70 in San Diego. Michael, say hello.
Hi guys. Alan, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. I'm excited to have you on. Is this the first podcast that you've been on, a postal podcast anyway, to talk about this issue?
No, I jumped on the Next Gen podcast for a quick minute.
Right.
But other than that, no, this is the first one I'm officially like.
Hey, look at that. We're newsbreakers here. Oh, that is awesome. So, yeah, we have spoken a little bit on Facebook about what you're doing. And just to bring my listeners up to speed, Michael Rivera is the person who filed the Article 10 charges against Brian Renfro that we've all heard about. And since then, he has now filed Article 10 charges against the entire executive council. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. First, let's talk about the original charges, the ones that you brought against Renfro. Give us kind of the bullet points of what you charged him with.
Well, there were charges towards Renfro and Executive Vice President Paul Barner.
Mm-hmm.
The first charge was omission of official acts. He failed to disclose all official actions to the convention and to the membership and regarding collective bargaining.
Right, and specifically the official act was like that Barner and Rolando had done negotiations and then those were withdrawn, and that's an official act.
That's correct. You know, if you have something and that's near completion, or at least near, you have something like tangible,
right?
And instead of disclosing that to the membership or to the executive council, you throw it away, and start completely fresh. You not only that type of action needs to be disclosed because it is, as we learned later on, became harmful to the timing of our bargaining position.
Right,
and that in itself is clear violation of his duties, mm-hmm, under Article 9, Section K.
Yeah, so that's great. I love that you actually cite the part of the Constitution where this is required. And I saw in his defense to your charge, and we'll get more into this in a minute, but his defense was like, well, nobody objected when I presented my official acts at the convention. Well, yeah, no shit, because how do we know that something was excluded? You don't know that it was left out until it's discovered. So
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. Okay,
yeah,
so that
was terrible.
Yep, one of the charges, so that was one, was that he failed to disclose this official act, and so did Barner failed to disclose this official act.
That's right. That's the fifth charge.
Okay.
We did charge Barner for his failure to fulfill his duties in disclosing actions during his time to the convention, to the membership.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a separate charge all to his own. Combined, the sixth charge is the charge that they failed to fulfill their oaths of office. Now, I guess we're going to get to it because charge six was really.
Let's do this. Let's go ahead. I already skipped ahead a little bit. Let's do this. Let's do this in a methodical way. Let's go through these charges one by one. Give a brief description of like charge one, and we'll talk about it, and we'll go on from there.
Okay, so I think we covered charge one already with the failure to disclose official actions.
Right. Okay.
And that's clear. And with any other protest that he may have, saying that these were, you know, indirect conversations, these were informal conversations that they had. Look, you're on the clock.
Right.
Essentially, anything that happens that you or I are on the clock on. We're gonna, you know, that any deviation, anything that's not, you know, mm-hmm, normal, it's covered. It's gonna be asked upon us to explain.
Right,
and the same thing with him.
Any reasonable member, I think, would expect to have, you know, acts of this level of importance disclosed.
Yes, Absolutely. Then the second and third charges.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
They were for the failure to disclose. I'm sorry. It was failure to fulfill resolutions 12 and 22 that were passed in the biennial convention. To notify us of any bargaining updates,
mm-hmm.
Having contract rallies. All these things weren't fulfilled, and it was backed up on a report by Marty Rose that those things were indeed not fulfilled.
Okay, so those were the open bargaining resolutions that did pass at convention, right? Where, hey, you have to bring us in on this, let us know what's going on. And you're exactly right, he didn't do this. So what in the world was his defense or the executive council's defense to those charges?
Well, they said they already investigated and closed the case. But regardless...
Well, did they say he was exonerated? Like, no, he did in fact release that information?
You know, and regardless of that charge actually being before it's... There was a lot of political motivation to move that aside. I know it was introduced by Mike Karaf. I knew Mike Karaf it was an uphill battle for him being a member of the council. I think it was really appropriate that I reintroduced that and that expand with my expanded case, because it's a great way to segue from my first charge, and charge two and three basically just solidifies charge one.
Yeah, saying that's exactly right.
Failed to disclose official actions, failed to fulfill his duties. So that's why charge two and three were very important to add in there. Regardless of him saying that they were already covered, I can still introduce it for the broader case.
Absolutely. And again, he doesn't defend himself by saying, oh, I did abide by these resolutions. He absolutely did not abide by the resolutions and doesn't claim to have abided by the resolutions. What is his claim? It's basically like, I don't have to do what the membership says?
It's pretty much, I can read it from here.
Yeah, please do. This is the letter that they sent, that the executive council sent to you dismissing your charges.
Copy right here.
All right. Yeah, please read from it.
The second and third charges are identical to charges previously submitted to the executive council by another member. These charges were investigated and the council reviewed the report of the investigator. The council determined that the charges were not substantial. And that's all they're saying on that.
Mm-hmm.
But The thing is that if I'm making my first charge about the failure to disclose official actions,
mm-hmm.
this plays in part to it. And so just saying that, oh, we already took care of this, it shows me they're not reading.
Right. It may not. They may have decided it wasn't substantial in that context. But again, exactly to your point, you're making a case here. You're building a case, and it is absolutely relevant and substantial to the case that you're making.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's go on to the next charge.
Well, charge four was focused on the Nolan Award, the decision that came out of mediation that impacted our work rules and rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I, along with colleagues, others, you know, we said we deserved the ratification vote. You know, it was done in mediation. But they said that it was legally binding. The executive council, that being they voted that it was legally binding and finalized. I'm not saying the award isn't binding. We can't change the award.
Yeah.
But the method in which we're interpreting it, saying that it was arbitration. No, this was a mediation.
Absolutely.
And so we as members have a right to have a ratification vote.
Right. Yeah. So again, you're not saying that the award should be withdrawn or that it's invalid. You know, that horse has left the barn. There's not a lot we can do about that at this point. But the procedural failing by the president to not give us the right to vote on a mediated award rather than our arbitrated award, the arbitrator himself calls it a mediation. And yeah, for Renfro to essentially just force it through, that... I think you're onto something here with these charges. And so the executive council's defense, just to reiterate, is that, well, this award is legally binding, and that's it, right?
Yeah, they just go around the whole point, right, that they didn't even use the word arbitration or mediation in their wording. Obviously this letter went through legal,
mm-hmm,
and they tried their best to try to, you know, circumvent that.
Right. Right. Because if they come out and say that this was in fact an arbitration, well, now they're lying and they can be held accountable for that. And so, yeah, they just skirt the issue. That's a great way to put it. I think you're exactly right.
Correct.
Okay. Any additional charges?
Charge 6. I think we covered the...
That was the one against Barner.
Barner and Renfro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Now, it was very important to do Renfro and Barner because they both failed to, you know, uphold their oath of office.
Right.
And their excuse is saying that, hey, this isn't constitutional language here. There's nothing here that's part of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The oath of office is an affirmation to the Constitution.
Right. It's a promise you're making to the members.
Yes. And that's why it's the last charge, because the all 5 charges preceding that is showing us that there were constitutional violations. That 6th charge, even it's more than just symbolic. It's also it's almost like a direct. If you couldn't figure it out before, here we go. We're telling you, failed to fulfill your duties in your position.
This is what you promised to do, and you did not fulfill. You did not live up to that promise. So be specific here in charge 6 with this oath of office. What specifically did he promise to do and fail to do?
You failed to uphold the Constitution and the everything within the Constitution. If the Constitution cites that in his duties that he's supposed to disclose all actions,
mm-hmm,
and he's supposed to do no harm to the membership.
Yep.
No harm to the members. I would say that my case and I think everybody's grievance towards this is that he has done irreparable harm toward the membership.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are the charges, the initial charges that you filed against Renfro. So I've gone over on this podcast before, like what the process is, what Article 10 is, what the procedures are, but it's different when you're actually doing it and going through that experience. So tell my listeners about the steps that you took to make this a reality.
A lot of listening, a lot of reading. Mm. I'm a podcast junkie, so I listen to a lot of postal podcasts, mm-hmm, out there, a lot of union podcasts. You know, I go into the social media's forums, and I read and I see people's points of view, and I'm like, okay, there is a strong case to be had here. Why aren't we making the case?
Right.
And so you go to the Constitution. What is it that us members can do? What's within our rights to do? And there, of course, everyone tells us Article 10 charges. So reading the language, and a lot of it's just figuring out who I send it to.
Yeah. Okay. So talk about that. Who did you send it to? Like, you write the charges, and then what do you do with them?
Well, after composing the charges,
right,
and with the help of a few members' input, mm-hmm, so I went ahead and sent it to National up at DC.
Right.
And I sent 3 copies, all of them express, because just the urgency of the matter.
Oh, sure.
And I sent one to James Henry, I sent one to Brian Renfro, and I sent one to Nicole Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't know if it was going to be Henry or Ryan who had to
appoint the investigator
and call for the investigator.
Yep.
So I wanted to cover my basis and sent it to both.
Right.
I know there was constitutional change from 2024, and so I verified it, and I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to send it to both. Why not?
Might as
well. I also sent it to my national business agent, Keisha Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have a copy too, keep her in the loop. So no issue with the first set of charges getting there.
Nice.
The second set of charges.
Right. Another story. We'll get to that. Yeah, we will definitely get to that. Okay, so your charges are received at National, and then we know what happened next. James Henry did exactly what he's supposed to do under the Constitution, and he appointed an investigator, which was Lou Drass, right?
No, I think it was Pete Moss.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Pete Moss. Yep, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, so he appoints Pete Moss to do this investigation, and what happened next? Did Pete Moss start his investigation?
Well, Renfro said, hold your horses. That's what he said, pretty much said. He just said, hold your horses. I'm going to call an emergency executive council meeting with less than 24 hours notice. And so from my understanding, he may have instructed Paul Barner to whip up the votes.
That's certainly the word on the street.
Yeah. And so they came in there with a plan and a plan to dismiss the charges against themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Huge conflict of interest having the guy. Yes.
Of course, it is. The person who the charges are against gets to vote on whether the charges are valid. That's like the definition of conflict of interest.
It's crazy. Crazy. And so they had the vote. It was contentious. I believe a couple of defenders on my side.
Oh yeah.
But like I stated in my podcast, Code Light Blue. It's and the quoted by from James Henry. James Henry quotes Renfro saying the executive council could do
as it pleases. Oh, okay. Yeah. So let me give a plug real quick. Your podcast. So you created a whole new podcast that so far this is the only content on it is the charges and your commentary around the charges. And say again what the name is.
It's Code Light Blue.
Right. And it's LITE Blue, right? Just like our website and stuff. Yep, exactly. And guys, give it a listen. In anticipation of this interview, I listened to the entire series, and it's really well produced and has a great format to it. It's very easy to listen to, very easy to understand. Michael gives excellent explanation of what the charges are about, what they are, what the content is. And again, I highly recommend it, Code Light Blue. So now, this defense from Renfro, this action, to me, it looks like he's just trying to nip it in the bud, to get ahead of it, to prevent this investigation from going forward. Because also as part of the investigation, I know this was in Karev's charges, but in your investigation as well, didn't you also have requests for information?
Absolutely. I requested the Rolando Barner proposal.
Yes, that is my favorite part of your charges, because if we're going to adjudicate this, we have to have the actual information. And that's so vital to find out. Like, everybody wants to know, what was this initial offer? Go ahead.
This was such a done deal.
Right.
What is he afraid of showing us the Barner Rolando proposal?
That's exactly what, right.
It's already said and done. Mm-hmm. We have a right to see it.
Well, I'll go a step further, because there was another open bargaining resolution that passed in Boston that said once negotiation is finished, we're going to get a complete play-by-play of everything that happened. And this proposal would absolutely be part of that play-by-play. Yet another convention resolution that's being ignored by Brian Renfro.
Very interesting. We're going to have to talk further about that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Wow. Yes.
No,
so,
no.
Right, right. Okay, so we have this meeting now. He calls this emergency meeting, and the executive council is going to vote on whether the charges are substantial. Now, that is not the procedure that the Constitution calls for. So go over, we've kind of touched on it a little bit here and there, but just to be explicit, what does the Constitution say is supposed to happen with your charges? What are the next steps?
Well, an investigator must be appointed to investigate the charges.
Right.
Then report back to the council with its findings. Then, and the only then, is that when the council will have the ability to vote on whether or not the charges are substantial. But yep. Renfro absolutely cut it before it could even get to that phase.
Right.
And just
short-circuited the whole process.
Yeah.
Yep. And from my perspective, I'm not in that room, but to me, that looks like an abuse of authority, an abuse of his position that he is subject to the Constitution just like anybody else is, just like a branch president is subject to the bylaws, just like you and I are subject to, you know, the M41 work rules, all of these things. He's not above the Constitution. He is, to your point earlier, with his oath of office, he is supposed to enforce and serve that Constitution instead of ignoring it and bypassing it. But that's what he did.
Not only did he try to do that, but in a way, by having this procedure go the way it did, he's trying to rewrite the rule book.
Yes. Yep.
He's trying to completely rewrite the whole thing, rewrite the script. And that is nowhere in his power, nowhere in his his duties to say he can rewrite the Constitution by changing it on the fly when it comes to, especially with our due process, with one of the only few tools that we have to directly hold our officers accountable.
That's exactly right. Right. We have these procedures in place for a reason, and it's to limit the abuses of power. And he has totally short-circuited that process. Okay. So with that, now we get to this executive council meeting. It was called in an emergency session, and people argue back and forth. And how did that resolve? What was the vote?
Vote was 14 to 11 with 3 absent to dismiss the charges.
Right, right. Okay, so 14 people voted to dismiss, 11 people voted not to dismiss the charges, and 2 of those 14 votes were Renfro and Barner. So that's if right. You take those out, now it becomes 12 to 11, and that is that's a pretty tight margin. I mean, generally the executive council is a rubber stamp for whatever Renfro wants to do. And to me, that was the most amazing thing that came out of your charges. I mean, obviously the bypassing of the constitutional process is damning, but it shows that it's not this united front that it once was, that there is dissension and there are people who are starting to see, hey, this isn't right. There are things going on here that are not okay, and they're not okay with it. Our own business agent, Keisha Lewis, you know, as far as I know, I'm not on the inside or anything, but she's been pretty supportive of Renfro's policy. She has voted to, you know, clear him before, to stand behind him. But she was one of the people who voted not to dismiss the charges this time.
Yeah, it was a step too far.
Yeah.
For a lot of folks.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I believe that they're still feeling the effects even to this day right now with a crumbling inner working up there in National. There is a lot of talk coming out about dissent, about regret. And I think the walls are closing in on Mr. Renfro. I don't think he has many allies up there for him to do what he did last with my last set of charges.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why my new set of charges have yet to be heard.
All right, so now let's talk about that. So we have this miscarriage of justice, and you got this letter from the executive council that we've now discussed about why they chose to dismiss these charges without ever even investigating them. So now what do you do? What's the next step?
Just to be on the record, took them about 14 days for them to send me the letter of explanation.
Right.
In less than 14 days, I had already submitted my article, my new set of charges.
Right. Yes, nice.
And a lot of the stuff they said in the explanation letter, I was already anticipating. I make my case in the new set of charges, and so. Okay.
Well, I've skipped a step. So hold on. Before we get to that skip step, you have a right to appeal this decision of the executive council. So what are you doing with that? Where does that stand?
Well, with that one, it is my right to appeal the decision from the council.
Mm-hmm.
However, that would be what they would want me to do.
Right, because go ahead.
Yes, once I it will lock it into next year's convention.
Right. It would just sit until the next convention. And that's one of the ways, in my opinion, that people in authority abuse the process. That, you know, branch presidents or officers or whatever will say, well, if you don't like it, go ahead and file an appeal. Meanwhile, that appeal takes so long to go through the process that by the time it finally gets heard, that ship has sailed. It's no longer relevant. You're no longer going to get the satisfaction that you need.
And Renfro will still be the sole negotiator when, right, when contract discussions come up again.
That is exactly
it,
right.
It does not serve the membership well for me locking it into appeal and waiting till next year. No, I found another avenue by setting up the new charges, mm-hmm, and requesting in my remedy that the original 6 charges be reinstated and heard.
Nice, because they were never, the argument would be that they weren't properly adjudicated in the first place.
Correct. They still, yep, could be in play. Right. So I'm not going to go down their way of playing the game if they're not following the rules.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're not going to legitimize what they're trying to do. Yep, that's correct. Exactly right. Okay, so now with that said, let's get to the next set of charges. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, the next set of charges, it's well, it was basically everything that has to do with what happened in that room that day.
Okay.
And so it's a lot of collusion.
That's fine. So it's basically laying bare that they have violated this constitutional process and that the executive council is a party to the violation of this constitutional process. They have an obligation, just like Renfro does, to uphold our constitution and to make sure things are done properly. So to sit up there and vote to dismiss these charges, that first set of charges, without due process, now that makes them liable for violating that due process.
It's an Article 10 charge again for them violating Article 10.
Right.
It's such a crazy thing to say, but they for them to deny a member's the right to due process, and to do it in a way where they're trying to invoke executive privilege, they're trying to manipulate people to vote, all of it's just dirty. It's absolutely just a mess of a debacle up there when they did this, and not only just trying to create a whole new avenue of how to deal with Article 10, which is the violation of Article 19, where it's the delegates at a convention can go and vote for new rules and new amendments to our constitution. They can't just go ahead and start rewriting the framework.
That's
and go
exactly
and,
right.
An avenue. Our executive council was put in a position where they thought that this was their only way to handle it by voting alongside with Renfro, but they had other ways based on Article 9 themselves, on their duties.
Right.
Article 9 states that they can defer to a subcommittee. Mm-hmm. If matters get of this type of nature, they can defer to a subcommittee. They could also recuse themselves. Renfro, mm-hmm, and Barner could have recused themselves from this and keep it clean and legitimate.
Right.
They did not.
They also could have let the investigation happen and then dismissed the charge after the investigation, which is the constitutional process.
That's the old play they would usually do, but this one was different.
Yeah, because we know from the previous Renfro charges that the information that was in the Weiner report got released. And we saw all that information about how, you know, he broke the front door of the NALC building when he was drunk and fell into the bushes or whatever that story was. You know, all that stuff came out. And so with your very relevant requests for information, like that request to see what the initial proposal was from Barner and Rolando, that's what I think, you know, this speculation on my part. But that's what I think he was really trying to forestall by not letting this get to an investigation, because that information would be damning.
His Yeah, his pride, his hubris is going to be in that. If he would have allowed the investigation to go through and given the members the information they are owed, he could have saved the union from this constitutional crisis that it's in right now.
Right.
I mean, the onus is on him and his direction.
Right. And to me, even without charges, there's a very legitimate question that's along these same lines, which is, hey, at the convention, we voted for this transparency. And dear President Renfro, what are you doing to provide this transparency? And obviously the answer is nothing, you know, that he's ignoring the will of the members. And that in itself is damning. But then why isn't he providing that information? And, you know, we can only assume because it does not benefit him. And if it did, he would show it, you know, because he's already been required to show it by the members present and voting at the convention. And so the fact that he's defying this, defying the investigation, defying the constitutional process itself, none of this bodes well for the status of our national leadership.
No, it doesn't. If this is allowed to continue, if they're allowed to continue with this type of a strategy of delay and dismissal and totally negating our Constitution, it's going to open up a wave of additional charges, and not just internal charges. We're looking at the NLRB, the DOL. This is going to require attorneys from a union side. It's going to cost a lot of time and a lot of money to fight every battle that come their way, every battle that has merit. And then there's a lot of folks out there. They're going to see this. They're going to see this as a blueprint for next course of action. And they're going to take this. They're going to run with it. They're going to add new charges, and they're going to have a paper trail. They're going to see, like,
right,
we had two delays. We had one dismissal. We're going to have, and then in the coming weeks, they're supposed to meet. Mm-hmm. And if they try to do this again, you're feeding the monster that's about to come out.
Yeah.
That the union's going to have to deal with.
And you're only giving the members more and more reason not to trust, not to have faith in their leadership, when the leadership is, again, openly defying what the membership has asked for, what the membership has voted on. And it's in service of keeping information from your membership, the very people you're supposed to be representing. It's bullshit. Okay, go ahead.
One thing I want to point out that for everyone to know is to seek out and read the LMRDA.
So, Labor Management Recording Disclosure Act. Yep.
Yes. Look that up, read it thoroughly, and come to your own decisions when you listen to my podcast or listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
I'll leave it at that.
I mean, in fairness, we're not the jury. You know, we're not the people who, at least at this point, who are supposed to decide on these things. But that brings up an interesting question, which is the new charges charge the entire executive council. Who the heck is supposed to adjudicate those charges?
The people.
Yeah.
That's what it goes down to. It goes back to the delegates.
At the convention,
at the convention, correct.
Right.
That's what I'm asking for, a special convention to hear the charges, both the original six and the new six,
right,
and to adjudicate these matters.
Wouldn't that be something if the special meeting that gets called, you know, that we're working on now to get the special meeting to make our bargaining positions known? Wouldn't that be something if that also wound up being used to adjudicate these charges? Man, that'd be a hell of a meeting.
you know, as cost effective that would be, I believe the efforts of Jenna and Stephanie on their constitutional convention movement, I believe they want to keep it separate, but with the same goal.
Yeah.
The goal is for change.
Right.
And I totally support their effort. I support them And I believe they have momentum. They have momentum. Yeah.
It is amazing to I follow them on Facebook, reform whatever the meeting halt for special meeting is, and every day it's a list of branches that are passing this resolution. It's heartening to see. It's like at first it feels like this impossible goal, and then when you see branch after branch after branch after branch not only passing it but passing it unanimously, it is a beautiful thing. And you start to think like, holy crap, this might actually happen. And yeah, that would be great.
A lot of faith in the membership now that say, yep, look, we can push this along. And that's the thing. It's their tactic is to delay us, to make us forget.
Yep,
to make us
absolutely
forget, keep us apathetic.
Yep.
And we have to be our own rally call. We have to, folks like Stephanie and Jenna stepping up and organizing, folks like myself, pushing these charges forward keeping them in the forefront is what's going to help reach reform. Right.
Okay. So speaking of pushing the charges forward, there's one more detail about this that I want to cover because there's kind of an interesting story about where your new set of charges are physically. Like, what is the status of them right now?
They have arrived. They have arrived, though it was a bit of an ordeal.
Okay.
I had sent them again express mail on April 23rd up to National, two envelopes this time. And on April 24th, around 3:24 Eastern Standard Time, they were scanned, business closed.
Wow. They must be the same as the people who work at the NASC Health Benefit Plan, because those dudes close early.
Apparently, I got word from folks inside saying that no, we were open till 5.
Right.
So yeah, next day it was scan delivered.
Okay, that's something.
A public park.
Wow, that's a public park. It's better than what happened with Mike Karev's charges, where they just sat at the post office for like a month waiting to be delivered. So that. And I guess that's the benefit of sending them express. Is at least it does get there eventually.
It gets there. It gets signed. Oh wait, no. Signature was waived.
That's fine. Did you waive the signature or did?
Nope.
Nice.
Yeah. I've been told they take the low road, and they sure did. It was confirmed earlier that they did receive it. And if they didn't receive the physical copy, they all received a digital copy on May Day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so timely.
It was my International Workers Day gift to every single member of the council. But they received their own copy on through the email. So they got it. Needless to say, I got blocked by a couple members.
Oh, okay. My God. Okay, so on that note, so now Michael Rivera, this is a name that people are starting to recognize. People are well aware of these charges. They're a national story within our union's activists. So what sort of feedback and pushback have you been getting?
Well, there's been a lot of outreach and support. A lot of folks out there are alongside for the fight. They're, they saying I'm doing a good thing. I'm keep fighting, brother. I've gotten a lot of support from the elder statesmen of the NLC, and I really appreciate that. I tell them, a little encouragement goes a long way, and it certainly has in this case. It's what motivates me to do what I do, to do the mass emails, to do the multiple mailings out of my pocket. You know, I'm not asking for any money to do this. I'm sending them out. I sent three copies out to three executive council members, the new charges. This time priority was certified.
Okay. That's still not cheap. That's still like 15 bucks. Cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I'm keeping it alive. I'm keeping it at their desk. Mm. And hopefully now I'm going to keep it in the ears of every potential listener.
Right. Okay. So last question. They're obviously now aware of what you're doing, aware of what these charges are. And they're on notice. The people on the executive council, especially Renfro, are on notice. So if you could send a message to them directly, if you had the chance to talk to them, what message would you want to send?
I would send a message to the executive council that we don't always get a second chance. And with these new charges is an opportunity to redeem yourselves among the people of your region. Stand up for the Constitution. Don't deny it. Don't neglect it. Don't throw it in the trash. Defend it. A lot of you folks up there, you know, you're looking at a legacy. You know, at this point, you're looking at legacy. You put in your years, you put in your time, you put in your work, but do you really want it to end on this note, that you would jeopardize the Constitution, that you would set the course for the Union to a road of countless charges, litigation inside and outside? Are you going to be responsible for that? I wouldn't want to live with that, knowing that I would go retiring and I just set up my union for the one of the biggest battles in their life, in their existence, and it's all because it's not from just the outside forces, the administration, but from within, because I broke the trust of the membership. I broke their faith. I broke their. I broke this contract I have with them. And now I'm. This is what's going to happen. This is the end result. Right. A union, in the division. A union broken in faith. A union that's going to fight for justice, in whatever avenue that would be. And I would just say, think carefully before you convene. Members of the council can call for this meeting. You don't have to wait for the president. You all can make the right choice if you all speak to each other, weigh out your options, weigh out the consequences, and come to a mature, logical, and
ethical
just decision.
There you go. Yep.
A just decision.
Michael, that's fantastic. I couldn't have put it better. That's so well said. I'm so glad you came on to Class as a Male. And I think that's a good place to leave it. I do have one more thing. Michael and sure. I've had conversation before we came on to the podcast. Michael is from San Diego, and I grew up in San Diego in the East County in El Cajon. And there is a taco shop in El Cajon, and it's other places in the East County as well. It's called Los Ponchos.
Yeah.
And you know Los Ponchos. All right. So the next time you are sending out express mail, please package up 5 rolled tacos with that fake green guacamole on it and send it off to Las Vegas for me.
I'll send you the green guacamole. I'll send you the red. I'll send you the pickled carrots.
Oh,
Dude, you'll have a full San Diego experience.
Yeah.
Back.
We have Roberto's here in Vegas, which came out of San Diego as well. But, you know, I grew up with Los Ponchos, and that is my place. Yeah, that's awesome.
No worries. I got you.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is our show. Michael, thank you so much for coming on. On behalf of my listeners, I really appreciate the effort that you're putting in, the fact that you're putting yourself on the line, and it's in service of the union. It is in service of our Constitution, and it is in service of your fellow members. Michael, great work, man. Thanks again for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you. Hey, guys, check out Code Light Blue. It's up. I will have more coming down the pike, so please please give it a listen and share. Awareness is key.
That's awesome. All right, so for Michael Rivera, I am Alan Gygax. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you all next time.